Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hurts in the gun. Barkley to his left. A.J. Brown out to the far side by his lonesome. Hurts this time backs up. Looks, fires complete. A.J. Brown in the back of the end zone.
Obviously, Eagles radio with the call. All good now. Everything's solved except for Nick Sirianni, Jalen Carter, and the D-line coach. Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Cowboys Monday. First 60 minutes all on America's team. We'll get back to it, but we got to tell you what else happened around the NFC East. Here with Sean Shreve, Cowboys insider, back from Carolina. Bobby Belchoppy is out this week on vacay. We got Pepe, we got Caitlin, and we are live on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube. As we're sitting here with 65 degree temperatures, what the hell is going on? As I had to flip on over to the air conditioning last night.
Kristen was asking as we were starting to lay down and go to bed last night. She's like, it feels kind of warm in here. She's like, yeah, I don't have the heater on though. So she's like, what's the low supposed to be tonight? And I looked up, I was like, oh my gosh, the low is only going to be 65, which is so much better than coming out of Carolina where it was, I did not look the forecast in advance. It was 40 with like whipping winds. That was freezing. But she ended up turning on the AC last night, and she does not like doing that.
Underdress in Carolina?
I did. I had short sleeve shirts.
But it was cold here before you left.
No, it wasn't.
Why would you think it'd be different there?
It wasn't on Saturday afternoon. Well, climates are different from coast to coast.
There's a 1 day climate change compared to the last like month.
But it was it was chilly. I didn't have a hoodie other than my one effing gear hoodie, which has a little tiny middle finger off.
So let me get this straight. You go to a wedding, you wear someone else's random stranger wedding, you wear a suit.
Who called them a randos again?
You go to Carolina and you wear t-shirts, but at a pool party you wear a hoodie, and for all of our events, you dress like a bum.
Yeah.
Backwards. 877-881.
You got it just right.
Well, I did have it just right. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown got it right as they connected, had their little weird post-touchdown dance celebration. AJ saying shut up to the reporters. There's your shut up moment. Jalen Hurts saying, is that what y'all wanted with all the drama they tried to start throughout the week? Devontae Smith got a score as well. And the Eagles actually overcame two straight fumbles that Pittsburgh did not take enough advantage of. And the Philadelphia Eagles with a very impressive W. Although, because Indy lost, the Pittsburgh Steelers still got into the playoffs yesterday.
I love that. They're acting like a teammate, basically saying they don't like each other. And a history over the last 2 years of, yeah, sometimes their culture can get really messy in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I love that that's an outrageous question to, like, hey, was your teammate right when he said y'all aren't friends anymore? And they're like, you idiots. Like, that's hilarious to me, first off. But it was, that definitely felt like a, all right, We will respond to exactly what's out there. That is the most pass attempts that Jalen Hurts has thrown since week three. He puts up 32, 290 yards, and all the targets to A.J. Brown. That is 100% a reaction to public criticism, which, even though they won, that makes me a little leery of Philly, that they're that easily influenced by, like, well, we got to throw the ball to A.J. this week just to shut everybody
up. And it makes me a little leery of Kellen Moore. Like, why wasn't this there more often? Like, yeah. It's a good defense in the Steelers. Like, okay, so you can just have a statement FU game and get Devontae and AJ both 100 yards apiece and touchdowns?
Now, I will say, when I haven't seen them on tape recently, so I don't know if anything's changed. When Dallas played them, it felt like throwing the ball on them was going to be easier than running to the edges or doing anything else. But it was still a good defense overall. It wasn't one that you would just think you could have a prolific day against, but they went ahead and did. I'll tell you my least favorite response to this game that I saw. Diana Russini tweeted, walking out of the Eagles locker room tonight, ... Let me say, this team has that 2017 magic with some 2022 to it with a wide eye emoji. It's like, okay, I see what you're doing. You're literally just pairing the last two locker rooms that went to the Super Bowl and trying to create a buzz around that. That's
my
lame.
God, this is Diana Russini. Slater, cover your ears. But my God. We're watching a stock crumble. It's like I have her portfolio because it's crumbling so bad. All right, elsewhere in the East.
This is it. Two-point conversion. In motion, Moreau just scored the touchdown. Rattler rolling to his right, looking, firing, throws.
Incomplete! Oh. Incomplete! Whoa. Washington wins 20-19!
So the Saints score with Rattler at QB with no time left. They go for two in the win. Tolo Skip hit me up. So stupid. What are they doing? And I'm like, what did I miss here? I had to go back and watch it. I'm like, the Saints should have gone for two there. I have no problem with them going for two. They got nothing left to play for. Here's the problem. The game shouldn't even have gotten to a two-point conversion. This is bad, Bobby. Yep. This is really bad. So they get a pass and completion down to like the one-yard line. The referee stopped the game clock for 4 seconds when it should have been running. The clock froze at 9. The play clock went from 39 to 35. Game over. They asked the referees afterwards, yo, what happened right there? The official said the covering official mistakenly stopped the clock in that situation. The clock should not have stopped. Was there any consideration in reviewing the stoppage? Was there anything you could have done after the fact? No, it is not a situation that is reviewable. When were all of you aware of the mistake? That's all I have for you, Luke. The covering official mistakenly stopped the clock at 9 seconds, and it's not reviewable. Wow. Like, the Saints almost won a walk-off when you could argue, and probably should argue, the tying touchdown should not have even happened, or the touchdown to put them down one.
Your pops would never. Your pops never would have done this, Sean.
My dad?
No.
My
Sean
dad doesn't watch football.
Sean Hockley. Oh. Ed Hockley never would have stood for this. He would have reviewed it. He would have done everything. I don't like... It's
wow,
bad enough.
Wow, this is bad.
It's bad enough it happens. I hate that last line. That's all I have for you, Luke.
Yeah.
Like no, your questions are done. No, this is a pool report. You're supposed to answer everything here. Like, that's... You get
like
one
a head coach and a presser.
You get one
Jerry Jones with us.
One reporter who goes in and asks all the questions for the beat that's there. Like, both teams. Just, hey, these are the questions and concerns about the officiating tonight, and they're supposed to answer them. And so I don't like the defiant response. And in general, I mean, this is just it's a bad look that it accidentally, while New Orleans is at home, by the way, like, holds the clock in time for them to get a playoff. That's
so is it like absurd. is it their local clock operator, or is it a national person?
Oh, that's it. If it's something where he can stop the clock on his own, the official, I don't doubt that. I'm just saying it raises even more questions.
But who
I think
runs
for people.
The game clock? Because
the official can stop it, and there's a clock operator that can stop it.
Oh.
And so it's something where he's saying the official stopped it, but I mean, there's still people who'd wonder, okay, yeah, but this is still at home. Feels like home cooking a little.
Jaden Daniels hooked up twice with Scary Terry. Alvin Kamara had a really cool trick play touchdown, and the Commanders sneak out of New Orleans with the win. They're flying more banners in Jersey.
Rashad Bateman splits to the left inside the numbers. Lamar stands in the shotgun on second down. Likely comes in motion to the left. Lamar takes the snap. Looking to the left. Firing the end zone. He's got a man. Touchdown! Rashad Bateman! His second of the day!
And the Hayes and the Bond! Jerry Sandusky with the call. Yes, on Ravens Radio, Lamar throws 5 touchdown passes as the Ravens send the Giants to a franchise record tying 9th straight loss. Tommy Colcuts knocked out in this one. They got to go with another backup scrub. This is all Baltimore. The Giants are 2-10, 0-8 at home, and they're flying another banner basically saying, yo, ownership, we are not going to stop until you fire and get rid of everyone.
Well, I mean, that's a Giants team that you've beaten twice here in Dallas, by the way. I'd just like to point out for everyone who's gotten really excited, that's the same team that is just out there looking absolutely awful, like the worst team in football. The Giants are right now. That's the worst team in the NFL to me, and it's not very close. I would think the Raiders would put up more of a fight. When everybody gives credit for, hey, they haven't quit, talking about the Cowboys, the Giants look like a team that absolutely has quit. They just, I don't know if it's they're just that awful or they really don't care, but they have been terrible this whole way.
The game of the day to decide America's team, according to Jim Nance, happened in Detroit.
Receiver to each side. Here's the snap on second and goal, and it's an Allen keeper, and he sails into the end zone on a 4-yard touchdown run. Oh my, was that easy? That might be the least amount of contact Josh Allen has had on a touchdown run all season.
Bills Radio with the call. It's over. It's done. Josh Allen is the NFL MVP. That's going to take place. And they go into Detroit and win 48-42. The score is a little deceptive. It wasn't that close, as Buffalo was more in control than that. Josh with 4, overcoming Jared Goff, throwing 5 touchdowns. Super, super impressive.
This is the last 2 weeks for the Bills. They win this week 48-42 after last week losing 44-42. They are playing some absolute shootouts right now. This is I got to see if this is where this ranks in terms of NFL records and how close we're getting. This is 8 straight games for the Bills where they've scored 30 points. Their offense is just on fire clicking. Now, they've had issues with their defense in recent weeks. I mean, they gave up 27 to the Dolphins, obviously the 44 and the 42 to the Rams and the Lions, but the offense is clicking right now. And
Detroit's starting to get a little thin defensively.
They've just been so banged up, and they've taken so many hits. It's not sustainable to expect that they were just going to run through without any issues, so I don't have any long-term concerns about them still, but this is a humbling, and it was in Detroit.
Well, what type of concerns do you have about Dan Campbell? We had the Thursday night football decision that worked out in his favor, but he's getting justifiably destroyed today for what he did, kicking the onside. They were down 10 with 12 minutes left in the game. Down 10, 12 minutes left, a crazy Dan Campbell onsides. The Bills almost return it for an outright touchdown. They go down at the 5, they score on the next play. Now, obviously, this is a high-scoring affair, but previous to this, Detroit had scored back-to-back touchdowns and held Buffalo to a field goal on their last drive. So they didn't score a touchdown on their last drive. It was a field goal, and Dan Campbell gambles.
It's one of those things that whenever you see a decision like that, that feels so outside the realm of reason, it's like, who in the world would ever make that decision? I automatically default to, they must not have made the decision. They must be doing the RJ Choppy bit of, I've got a football outsider's calculator that says the percentages tell me our win probability is slightly higher if we just go ahead and try and go for it right here. Where it's like, okay, this is why there's got to be a little sense of feel for the game instead of just leaning on whatever.
Well, the feel for the game was a shootout.
But yeah, but I mean, then leaning on whatever.
Like we can't stop them.
Then leaning on whatever spreadsheet that says this. And that's the thing. I'm sure it was some sort of math equation they had that said win probability is slightly higher if we just go ahead and do this and try and get the ball back, or potentially hold them, the odds are in our favor if we do this sort of thing. But that's where you end up making just poor decisions.
And the Cowboys' next opponent, you could argue, well, not the most impressive win of the weekend. That's going to go to like Buffalo, maybe Philadelphia, but no one saw this coming. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers go into Los Angeles and hold Justin Herbert and the Chargers to 17 points, 40-17. Baker with 4 touchdowns. Bucky Irving with a 117. The future Hall of Famer Mike Evans, Aggie, 9 for 159 and 2 touchdowns. Holy crap!
Yeah, and this is like what we were talking about last week with Tampa, where it's they're the most I don't know what they're going to do team in the NFL, like all over the board. They've got their couple times they've been beat by the Falcons. They had a really bad stretch there where they lost four in a row. They lost five out of six. But then you look over their schedule and you're like, they have a 17-point victory over the Commanders. They've beaten the Lions this year. They've beaten the Eagles by 17 this year. And then they just beat the Chargers by a 10. There was, after that four-game losing streak and then a bye week, so they basically went with one win in 2 months when you include the bye week and the seven games that were there. After that stretch, they beat the Giants, the Panthers, and the Raiders, who might be the three worst teams in football. But it built up this confidence to where they were ready to go yesterday, and they go on the road against the Chargers, and Baker plays really well, and you never know what version of Baker you're going to get. And that's what Dallas left to death.
He'll throw up some crazy turnovers. All right, so the opening line for Sunday Night Football on 105 through the Fan, Bucks at Cowboys, is what? Guess.
Bucks minus 3.
I'll go 6.5 Bucks.
Whoa! In Arlington, 6.5, it is 3.5.
Oh.
In your face, pain.
3.5 for Tampa Bay. Nick Eatman probably dropping his coffee as we speak, or waking up with shock after flying back yesterday from Carolina. Nick will join us at 9:20. There it is, around the rest of the NFC East and the NFL. Back to the boys with Star Up, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL. And we have some things off the field. Trayvon Diggs is going back and forth over media reports. He is gone for the year. And Stephen Jones just suggests that maybe Micah Parsons is not going to be re-signed. We go inside the Star, commercial-free with the Expressway, and a Boys to Men ticket giveaway next on Sean and Bobby, 105.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Jalen Tolbert was catching some heat on social media from one particular podcast in the building before responding with that play on the home of the Cowboys. That's us. In case you did not know, that was Brad Sham. I'm Sean Sharif alongside Bobby Bell. Chop out this week on vacation. And this every day is the commercial-free expressway with a free concert ticket giveaway to hook you up with for the holidays and turning it on, leaving it on. I also wrote down Jalen Tolbert for a false start that turned a Cowboy 3rd-and-4 into 3rd-and-9. Brian Broaddus then tweeted, Tolbert is a poor player. What a shame. Thought he would have been better this season. Just no confidence there. Bobby Belt tweeting, I just missed on Jalen Tolbert and I was happy where they ended up drafting him. Tolbert had 247 receiving yards on the year after the Cowboys' Week 5 win against the Steelers. 247. In the 9 games since, 204, but yesterday shining a little bit. Does he end up with a star up or a star down?
No, this is a star down. It's not even close. Jalen Tolbert has been a complete disappointment.
Well, I mean, for the game.
No, and I mean, yesterday was a disappointment. You had a false start. You had a drop on 3rd down early where you couldn't finish the catch. He still has trouble finishing contested catches. Wonderful. I'm glad you got your touchdown in the back of the end zone. It's a great confidence builder overall, but you were not picked in the 3rd round and asked to step up and be the number 2 receiver with Brandon Cooks out, only to go one catch for 11 yards in this game. It's been bad. That's a big miss, and it's one that I missed on because I thought I would have taken him in the 2nd round, and he went in the 3rd, and he has just not been very good.
Other star ups, star downs, brought to you by Crown Royal, proud to be the official whiskey of the NFL.
Yeah, look, we've done so many star ups. I got some star downs for you. Amani Oruwariye. Bro, it is.
I'm out to get him after what he said last week.
He is. Look, I don't want to pick on a guy who's trying to make it through. And he's clearly, he was a guy who was not in the NFL when the season started. They signed him to the practice squad. He gets elevated due to injuries. I understand he's just trying to make it. And he's had a couple games this year where he played well. Dude, you cannot bounce back right after that issue with the punt and then do something like, oh, he's lined up offsides. Penalty there. Got you know, beat a couple different times. It was a bad performance from Amani Oruwariye. And it's, again, I understand there's a little bit of, you got to have some expectation here of what he is as a player. But as a player, I need you to know to line up correctly. Clarence Hill was sitting next to me, and when he got lined up offsides, Clarence was like, maybe he just didn't know the rule. He's like, it's possible he didn't know the rule that you weren't allowed to line up offsides.
Anything he does know, I tweet, I stand by it. I stand by it. Star down to the stupidity of this team again with the penalties. 14 of them a season high. 14 penalties. They couldn't believe it on the broadcast. Udoga had a penalty that wiped out a big CD gain that eventually killed the drive. Aurier with the offsides. Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver again. False starts. Just these types of stupid, stupid things.
Yeah, but in the end, this is not the fault of the players. It's not the fault of the coaching staff. This is the fault of Brian Broaddus. Brian Broaddus yesterday said these two teams run the football. He was talking to me during the pregame show because, hey, these two teams run the football. And Cleet Blakeman never calls penalties. Never does it. Oh. And because of that, we'll get a fast game today.
So he like, scouts refs as bad as he does play.
I was like, come on. He may be on his walk listening right now.
One of these scouts Wells' girlfriend.
So he said that. I was like, all right, Brian, you've jinxed it now. Now we are going to get probably a weather delay and tons of penalties. And sure enough, there we were, season high, 14 penalties. And again, that's where those are the kind of things that I think when you're looking at and say, oh, they're playing hard and these sort of things are factoring in from McCarthy. It's like, okay. With all that, though, the execution and the details, there's still problems here. There's still issues.
Well, I'll be choppy for a second. Who leads the league in penalties?
I think it's Baltimore.
John Harbaugh, bad coach?
No. No.
Okay, then why are we destroying McCarthy for this all
because,
the time?
Because what penalties are we talking about here? This team has way near the top at stuff like just are
I
you
wish
lining
we could
up?
Break down penalties.
Oh, I can. Yeah, I'll break them down. We'll do that this week. I can break down the league leaders in every penalty. But Dallas, they have a ton of are you lined up offsides, illegal formation. They have a ton of stuff where it's just you need to know where you're supposed to stand. Okay, guys, like that's supposed to be a thing.
Star down to the weekly death taxes and Cooper Rush is going to have a fumble. What the heck? You can't blame it on BB now. This was a red zone fumble before the half. You're up 10-0. This is a possible nail in the coffin possession. You turn it over, bam, instantly, what happens? Pepe, are we just being the home of the Cowboys here where we don't play any positive plays for Carolina? Do we not have the 83-yard touchdown?
No positive.
We're just homering it up here for the Bears. We don't even have the highlight of the other team scoring the get back in the game. Touchdown, 10-7. That made it. That was the ninth red zone turnover for the Cowboys, most in the league.
So you're giving a star down for the red zone turnover.
I'm giving a star down to Cooper Rush. And hold on to the football. Wear gloves. Wear gloves if you need to.
I
look like Peyton Manning in the cold.
So I'm giving him a star down, too. I'm giving him a star down for the whole game, though. I thought he would. I don't
the whole game. He threw three touchdowns.
I know, but there was so much praise for him yesterday, and I was like, I can't figure this out.
Can I give you some advice?
Hit me.
Can I give you some advice from a perception standpoint?
Please.
Don't make it so obvious to go out of your way. Like, you're so obvious when you want to take a shot at the head coach when it's not necessary. Only do it when it's really necessary. You do anything to protect your boy, number four, and you do anything to go ahead and take up for him just when everyone tries to say anything nice about Cooper Rush. You got a sideswipe out of nowhere. You're like the car that drives across the other side of the highway to go into head on traffic. You can get in an accident going the way you're supposed to go.
Let's
star down. Star down. You don't have to give a star, but star down.
Let's Facebook fact check you here, Sean. So first off, I've been very critical of Dak this year. I talked about this was Dak's worst season of his career, and he's just playing bad. So Dak was not good. I said next year he could be the quarterback and they could go 4-13. The other aspect of this is I thought Cooper Rush has played well overall for how he's been asked to step in and perform. I don't think, relative to expectations, he's been fine ever since like the second game where he had to come in.
He said yesterday he thinks he's a better quarterback now than 22.
Disagree. I disagree significantly. Now, I don't think he's regressed. I just think he's the same quarterback pretty much. He had yesterday two good throws. That's not enough to undo what I felt like was largely a lot of bad reads, a lot of bad throwing behind guys, and they were in some fortunate positions given the field getting turned over and it being short. And Rico Dowdle getting him down the field for him to be able to make those throws. But, I mean, you look at the third down, a lot of their third down conversions. I think on that drive where CD scored, two of those third down conversions that CD had on that drive, one was a quick flare. That's not anything Cooper Rush gets credit for. And then one of them was like an off-target throw that CeeDee caught. And so, to me, I didn't think Cooper Rush played well at all. Now, maybe post-tuck clarity, I look at it and go, I was too hard on him. Maybe we'll hear that tomorrow. But I'm guessing that when I look at it today, I'm going to look and say,
touchdowns,
he wasn't very good.
Feels a little Bo Nix-y. Like, Bo Nix, I don't know anyone who has thrown easier touchdown passes and gets more credit for it. I'm not giving Cooper, like, this major star up or anything. I was just surprised you went star down right there. We're commercial-free. Expressway, let us know who is on your Cowboy report card and for what reason at 877-881-1053. You have any others you want to get to?
I think just in general, star up for the offensive line as a whole unit and the way that they've not only just performed in this game, but just recently the way that they've become a cohesive unit. It's amazing how it proves the point about the offensive line is one, and it is an issue of cohesion and how they come together, because you wouldn't think that swapping all these parts out, that by the time they get to this point, now you're seeing them with some success. And it's easy to look at it and say, well, I mean, yeah, but who have they been playing? They've been playing bad teams. Yes, they have, but they have not been playing bad teams in the trenches. Washington has a lot of really good defensive linemen. The Giants, one of the one areas where they have success is they got some pass rushers, and they've got Dexter Lawrence in the middle. You've got Cincinnati, who had Trey Hendrickson, the top sack guy in the NFL. And so I think that their offensive line and the way that they've performed over the last several weeks, they have settled into a rhythm where, all right, this is the play style that they all feel comfortable with, which is playing a little more physical, a little more violent, and just kind of trying to bully over people. So I've got to start just in general for the whole offensive line.
Let's get to the news that Stephen Jones dropped on pregame with DallasCowboys.com about Trayvon Diggs out for the year.
Well, unfortunately, he had an incident in the game, and hats off to him for playing through it. I don't think he made it any worse, but, he's been battling some knee issues, but, it's a cartilage issue that finally came loose on him, and unfortunately, we are going to have to do surgery on that, and, it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get back. You're looking at probably 8 months. But anyway, he'll get in there, and just like any of our other guys, go through the rehab and be ready to go.
8 months, Bob.
That's a long time. That takes you all the way up to start a training camp or maybe bleeds into it a little bit. That's significant. And
did this surprise you?
Did this
come totally out of nowhere?
No, so it's, you knew he had been dealing with the knee issue. Yeah. They were trying to give it some rest, but it felt like every game, they're like, well, he practiced all this week. We think he's available. And then they'd have to be like, well, we got to work him out. We got to see. And all of a sudden it's like, well, he's been practicing all week, but when he's working out now before the game, he's not ready. So after he went in the Bengals game, there was some lingering pain or a lingering issue. And it's like, all right, let's check it out. And that's when the result came back. So you knew there was a hang up where they're like, there's something that we just got to get to the bottom of why is he having an issue? So in the sense of, did I know it was going to be that and he shut down for 8 months? No. But in the sense of, we knew they were waiting on something. They were waiting for an answer because they didn't know what was going on.
Little controversy stemming from this, as Clarence Hill said that Diggs' new knee injury is serious and 2025 is in danger. That's not the part that set off the Cowboys. Chill also said, I can tell you that the Cowboys were not happy with the way that Diggs attacked his rehab. Not happy with the way he attacked the rehab. 2025 is in danger. Micah Parsons responded. Of course, they're best friends. Bull S. I'll drop facts one day, just not today. But this BS and a bad narrative they've tried to put on my brother's name. And then Trayvon later tweeted out, hat. And I believe the kids call that cap.
Very good, Sean. You got right. it. You
yeah,
got one.
Yeah, yeah. And that means BS?
Yeah, that means that's a lie. You're that's telling cap. Lies. That's cap.
That's cap.
You're capping, chill. I think it's a complicated issue. I think that...
Why is 2025 in jeopardy if we're talking 8 months to the start of training camp?
I don't think it should be, so I don't know. I'm guessing Chill's just talking to other people or heard from other people who say... I guess the theory there would be that Steven was softening the blow a little bit, is if that's accurate. I'm not saying Steven was doing that, but if Clarence is getting this from somebody, I'm guessing that he's hearing from someone that, yeah, that's kind of an optimistic view. It's more likely this. And so I'd be surprised if this kept it, like there was a question about him keeping out, like being out all of next year, unless he had setbacks along the way or unless he didn't rehab or unless he didn't do these sort of things. And so that's the only thing that I would think would put this sort of thing in jeopardy, because we're talking about, this is not supposed to be as high up on the list as a full ACL tear. The ACL is supposed to be intact on this one, that he's still, the repaired ACL has not got an issue. So this is one where I don't know why 25 would be in jeopardy. But what, I also think the...
What about the rehab?
I think that there have been times where they probably get a little frustrated in general with the way Diggs commit. Look, we've seen on
Diggs is surly. Diggs is dripping with attitude.
A ton of
everything
it.
That he does. Attitude, and I know we've talked at times how that's good with that dog mentality, yeah. But he's got a lot of just attitude. It can be good and bad, it feels
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for sure, yeah. And he's somebody who I think that, look, we see he walks out of the locker room. He hears every criticism. There have been several criticisms of how much effort are you giving. There have been several criticisms about, are you focused on other things? Like, you want to jump on Micah's podcast and you want to do music videos after games and things like that. So everybody has seen those things. And I just think that's not just an outside criticism sometimes. I think that there's probably, for the Cowboys, they go, bro, are you fully here right now? Like, are you with us? Like, are you locked in? Now, what does that mean in terms of how they want to approach him or how they feel about him? I don't know. But I do think that whenever the fans have leveled that criticism out, was the effort always there? Is he totally locked in all the time? I think that that's not just fan chatter. I think at times the team has wondered too, like, dude, are you here right now? Come on. Like, let's lock in. Let's focus. Look me up here. Let's do this.
Bobby Belt, Cowboys insider in the locker room. Back from Charlotte here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Hit us up at 877-881-1053 with any questions, any text messages. And, of course, that is the D&M leasing hotline for you to win this.
That's right. Right now, caller number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Boys to Men at Windstar on Saturday, April 19th. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Back to the boys at 8. Below the belt at 8:40 on a Cowboys Monday. Thanks for joining us during the commercial-free expressway. We got a huge Tolo weekend to recap.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
I'm having a bad fucking weekend.
Fort Worth, this was your greatest moment that I've ever witnessed as a member of this radio station, Bobby. I had FOMO for you.
I had a lot of it.
I was disappointed that you were not there to experience this. What the Fort Worth Tolos did in showing up and the absolute scene that it was at Martin House Brewing, an incredible, awesome facility with great management and ownership. Bob, this could have been the number one seed, in my opinion, for just like an event at that level. This, you know, wasn't like something where we're trying to get like a stadium filled or something like that. Just like a random gathering, not random gathering, but something like a brewery. Let's all get together on a Saturday, a random Saturday. I was blown away, Bobby. I could not stop talking about it with Amanda for the hour long ride home. It kind of made me wish I lived in Fort Worth.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm still not going to do it for the drive, the commute that Choppy has to go through, but I get it. Holy crap. It was mind blowing.
Yeah. And those are big time listeners there at Martin House themselves. And yeah, we've got a lot of different folks that live out that way. But I mean, I could tell it was a good show, not just for
Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders out there. My son hates taking photos and pictures, and magically, I'm looking around, where's Ollie? And there's this little shrimp with his little denim jacket all buttoned up, probably from some YouTuber he was watching. I'm like, unbutton that. And he's like, no, I want to keep it. I know it wasn't off watching Chris Sims watching football with me. It was all some YouTube. And there he is. It's just all smiles ear to ear with the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders magically. What a magical change of attitude.
And that was the day little Ollie didn't care about Legos anymore.
That's right.
No, it was something where I saw your post about how everybody had turned out in a big way. I saw Zach and Eric post something similar. I think I saw another one out there on social media. And when it's all universal like that, it's like, okay, this must have been...
It's like the firehouses I missed that Chiafalo sits in on. And I'm like, all right, guys, how was it? And every time RJ and Bobby write me back, biggest turnout ever. That's the greatest turnout ever. Trying to, like, you know, subconsciously hurt my feelings there.
Is that... Do you think this was, again, the case that it was just there was Eric there? Now, no.
You know how I know that? And this, I think this lowdown pissed off Walchuk. Walchuk had to like take like three of our photos. You know, we're standing around here trying to get someone to take a photo, and a Tolo comes up to you, and I'm searching around like Amanda's got the baby or someone else is tied up, and I'm like, Zach's there. And like, I was waiting for them to be like, no, I want Zach in it. I want Zach in the photo. And I know, I made Zach do that like four more times. Zach's like, oh, I'll just do it. I'm just lonely nosebleed over here. It's not like I'm on any major drive time show. So Wolchuk took like three or four of our photos, and I wanted to rub that in as much as possible. It was fantastic.
Go get your shine box, Zachary. I could tell Brian and Eric. The next morning on the pregame show, they were like hoarse almost.
Yes,
like I could tell. I was like, "Oh, you guys, yes, guys went hard."
It was a lot of chatting, a lot of talking, a lot of fellowship, as Gavin Dawson would say. I looked up and it was like 5:15. I was like, "All right, we'll go there with the kids. Their clock will run out after a couple hours. We'll drive back home." 1 to 5:15, and it's like, "Oh crap! Like we gotta deal with these children." That's how. And then you got blessed with the weather, like. An unpredictable, insane, perfect weather day for everyone with the outside. They had Bassick's meatball truck that Pepe, I know you absolutely loved.
Yes. I was like, what is that truck? You know, we had all the beer there by the broadcast table. And I was like, what is this truck over there? What are they selling? I walk over and it was just meatballs. I was like, okay, well, what's fancy about it? And then Joe, or a great sales guy, brought a box over. I was like, all right, I got to try stuff. And they had pasta on there as well. Bacon bits, everything. And I loved every bit of it.
I don't know who was more bitter. Walchuk having to take our photos or Peyton not figuring out the beer situation. I walked in. Amanda goes, ask Peyton. I was like, what's the drink setup? She goes, ask Peyton. You know he's got it figured out already. Because she said, you know he ain't paying. And I go up to Pepe and I was like, what's the deal? And he's like, all right, this wristband, you know, I think you get four beers, $20, you know, $5 a beer. Go ahead and get that. And then I see promo guy Joe. And I was like, what's the deal? And the GM comes over with like all the different colored wristbands. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she's like, should we tell Peyton? You want to tell Peyton? I was like, nah. Let's see how long it takes for her to figure it out. So I know you were salty and I know you were bitter. Although, with the way you were going and not having your DD there, McKenzie, I don't think it would have been a great idea for you to get the free drink wristband. Because some of these drinks, Bobby, were 15%. Some of these were 15%. Yeah. So I got high. And then I got buzzed. Yeah, I sat down for my round table with Bassick, and I looked at this can. If there was a fan cam, I must have rotated this can around 12 times looking at this can that they handed me. And I was like, what? This tastes awesome. It was like a grapefruit beer that they had there made by Martin House. And I was like, something's off about this. And then I finally see that it's a THC beer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know whether it got in my head or whatever, but I'm like, I got cotton mouth. My mouth is dry. My mouth is super dry. I gave the rest of it to Chiafalo. I went and got some of the other stuff that they made. But Pepe, when did you find out about the wristband situation versus paying?
So, you know, me being me, I love to be on time.
You know, I was so proud of you.
This thing was 1 to 5. I got there at 12:59.
And you gave us everything. The parking heads up.
Yes. And so I walked up and I see Tim Collins, Gavin Spittle there. I was like, oh, you know, hey guys, you know, I wish Gavin a happy birthday, and he's still very upset that I did not ride with him out there. I rejected his ride, so I apologize for that. But you know,
how do you know he was upset?
Well, because I said, "Hey, happy birthday!" Trying to set the mood. He's like, and he said, "Thanks, man. Wish we could talked about it." He was still upset about it.
Talked about on the ride here.
Yeah, talked about on the ride there, and I was like, oh, "I'm sorry."
Did Gavin want you to talk about his birthday on the entire ride to the Martin House?
Probably that maybe some hockey talk as well.
Spittle was trying to get everyone in trouble. Like, all right, so after this, we're gonna hit baby dolls, and we're gonna go to this for my birthday, and this and that and that and this. He was trying to make strip club plans.
Yeah, and so you know, I talked to him, and I thought, you know, okay, if I'm going up there, obviously I'm there for the event. You're gonna tell me the drink situation, and Gavin didn't tell me, so I was like, okay, well, what are the beers? And he was like, oh, that's probably inside. I was like, okay, well, I'll go in there and I guess buy some beers. So I saw, you know, I went to the bartender. They said, we'll get a wristband. And so I bought the wristband for $20, and I came back and I told him. He was like, why do you have a purple wristband? I was like, well, I bought the wristband up there. He's like, you bought it?
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah, Gavin, you didn't tell me that we didn't get any of this for free. And he was trying to pull money out of his wallet to give me. I was like, no, it's $20, whatever. I'll pay for it. But
wow.
Yeah, $20. I think I got two, maybe three beers out of it. But
you did follow through. I was shocked. Unless you're lying to get off the Spittle hot seat, you went to the casino after? That's why you said you were going to ride with Gavin, because you were going to go to the casino after?
I did, yes. Now, I will say, because I said this Friday that I was probably going to go to the casino. Now, very well, my
friends got a $400 gas bill to pay. He's trying to win it.
I got to win it back. I got to win something. I did win. I won like $150, so you know what? We're fine. But yeah, I met a friend up there, because I was talking to a couple buddies, and it was kind of just in the air at the moment. But then, you know, 5 o'clock got here, and they're like, all right, let's go up there. So I went up there, for about three and a half hours, and then won some money and went home. So I did go to the casino. I did not lie to Mr. Gavin Spittle.
All right. Best and worst of the weekend. Let us know if you rolled on out to Martin House, got some cigars from Ned. I was talking real estate and home construction. One of my favorite all-time Tolos, D, was out there. Just one of many that I passed around my daughter to. As my wife had heard Friday me say, I just want Tolos 10 minutes apiece, hold my daughter so I don't have to deal with her. And that ended up happening. RJ, I tried to give RJ's fiance the baby fever as she wanted to hold Ava nonstop. But yeah, I just passed her around. So it worked out well. I'm blown away by the Tolo turnout out there. It was well worth the hour-long drive.
I meant to ask this on Friday when you were talking about I need somebody to babysit and watch them. I was going to ask you, if I was there at Martin House, do you think Amanda would let me watch Ava the entire time, or would she just not trust me to watch
Hell
her?
Hell no.
No?
No, no, no.
How long would I be allowed to watch Ava before she would be like, all right, you need to walk away now? 10 minutes?
Well, I like would give Ava to random people when Amanda wasn't there. And then when Amanda started walking over, I'm like, oh, let me burp her. Here, let me take her. Let me have her. But that's why I was hoping Kristen would go, because I was just going to give Ava to Kristen the whole time.
Kristen said she
did. I was shocked Kristen did not go solo.
So she.
Or with the girls.
She said she was going to. I didn't tell her about the event coming up because I wasn't going, so I didn't think to mention it. And when she found out about it last week.
You haven't learned by now that your wife is more than happy to go to these events without you there.
I know she's happy to go out and hang
like
out.
Like, if you weren't available this Saturday,
it would have been a better time for her, I'm sure.
To bring Kristen.
So she did. She was like, I'm busy. I made plans already because you didn't tell me this was going on. If I'd known this was
she's
open.
She's not listening?
No,
she don't see your social media?
Well, I mean, look, that sounds like you're just not promoing Tim's email, Sean. That's what that sounds like, that she didn't know it from you. But she did say, she was like, you know, if I would have known before, I wouldn't have made plans because I would have gone there. That sounded like more fun, so she would have gone without me.
But. Yeah, I just had a loss for words with it. It was impressive, right, Pepe? You have anything else you'd like to add? Martin House, Fort Worth, Tolo appearance?
No, I mean, so many Tolos were you kept to me. I didn't even have to go out to them. They were just coming to me. I was by the broadcast table getting ready to go on with Alec and Fred and Blake, and I just had Tolos constantly come up to me and talk to me and say, yeah, you know, Team Payload, screw Alec, you know, midday. So that yeah. was awesome to hear.
Oh, people would walk up and see Peyton next to Alec, and it's like, You told them, you know, something wasn't real in life, because they're like, why are they standing next to each other? They're supposed to hate each other.
Yeah.
They're supposed to despise each other.
They're not supposed to be, because I mean, I think ChatGPT actually says that Alec is Peyton's like influence, like his mentor in radio. So like, yeah, they're close. They're buddies.
The thing about the Fort Worth Tolo too, like in Dallas, when, you know, I would spend most of my social time in Uptown. And when you're doing an event like right in Uptown, like you get the feeling that someone thinks they're too cool if they come up and say, what's up to you? Man, you got none of that in Fort Worth. It was just like, hey, man, like it was easy conversation. It was pleasant conversation. It was awesome. So well done to Tolo Joe, Martin House, and everyone for having us out.
Probably would have gotten in a fight anyway. I would have been upset by something. I would have had to leave and ruined it.
Yeah, anyway. Well, I was thinking like, all right, there's no liquor here, so Bobby would have been contained. And I would have actually had Bobby, I would have taken that THC beer and done my own personal experiment, and I would have poured it into a cup and just given to Bobby, like, I got your beers for the day, don't worry. I would have been Bobby's runner, and I would have seen what the THC did to Bobby, and I think it would have worked. One day I will drug you, and it will work out for the best. Now, take us to your Tolo event.
Yeah, on Friday night, I attended the wedding of two very loyal listeners to the morning show, Kat Sabasco and Sebastian McMichael.
That you had never met in person before.
Never met him in person before. Yeah, and I mean, those are their names. I believe you have addressed them on the air now twice as the Randos, right?
Well, I'm trying to do that more so to insult Bobby. I already apologized, and I DM'd Sebastian and said, don't worry, Choppy has a nice bottle of Camus for you.
You don't have to apologize.
How about RJ Choppy, by the way? Here I am. He doesn't tell me happy birthday for 15 years running. And it seriously ticks me off. I don't know whether it's a bit now. He's just that inconsiderate. And here he is with my favorite wine with this huge bottle he got. And he's like, I'm going to give it to these people I've never met before. Yeah, I felt bad. I felt bad I didn't RSVP. But he doesn't tell me happy birthday after I, you know, roll out the red carpet for his ass every single year. I'm going to start taking off on my birthday now moving forward.
Oh, yeah. No, you should do that. And I appreciate the apology. But you don't need to apologize to me over it. You can apologize to Mr. and Mrs. Rando. Kat and Sebastian are joining us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Oh, Sean, is there anything you'd like to say to Mr. and Mrs. Rando here?
Congratulations. Y'all know I'm just busting Bobby's balls. Congratulations, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. How you doing this morning?
How did Bobby act?
Bobby was great. All I kept hearing the whole entire night was, hey, is Bobby here from 105.3? I was like, yeah. And then I got to talk to him a little bit later on in the wedding, and I'm sure he got harassed by a couple people asking tons of questions. But, no, he was good.
And Kat, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Kat.
Mrs. Rando to you, sir.
Oh, yeah. See, Bobby, you got in their ear now. Now I'm going to have to get you a bottle of Camus to make up for it. Kat, I know you are in charge of the organization. I mean, how did you decide where to sit, Bobby?
I strategically sat him at a table full of Aggies.
So were one of you in charge? What was the drink situation, Bob?
It was open bar. Oh. I didn't end up having any drinks because I was
zero.
I was going to let Kristen have some, and so I was going to have to go to work later on in the night and do different things. And so I was going to let Kristen. I forgot Kristen had started her antibiotics, so she was mad. She was like, "I can't drink," and so I was like, "Oh, great. Well, I wasted this. I should have planned for this better." And so yeah, I screwed it up.
Well, guys, do you know what his appetite slash dinner internal struggle was? Did he tell you about this yet? Since he wants to embarrass, he wants to embarrass me by putting you all live on the air. Go ahead, explain to them how backwards and cross-wired your brain is.
So the dinner was great. I got the beef fajitas; they're fantastic. Great call there. While they were out getting pictures, there was like the appetizer time. You're supposed to go over there and get appetizers and things like that. And Kristen's like, "Oh, you should go over there and get some." I was like, "I can't." And she's like, "Why?" And I was like, I feel like that's not for me. She's like, it's for people who are here. I was like, yeah, but like, that was not planned for me. I didn't RSVP to eat the appetizers, so
it's not a separate RSVP. I know, but
I felt like I shouldn't. That's not for me. I shouldn't cut into any of their supply. That feels wrong.
So you and your wife did not eat any of the appetizers.
No, Kristen would have. She was just like, but I'm not going to get up and get it myself. Yeah. You got to go with me. I was like, well, I can't. So sorry, you're just going to have to wait for your salad and your fajitas.
Guys, any other Bobby observations on the evening?
No, Kat, do you have any?
I don't. I just was really happy that he came, and it meant a lot to us, and you know that we're not random strangers to him. it feels so good to be seen and heard as a Tolo to him and him only, and RJ actually. Choppy, definitely sent us some kind words, and
you know
and
what?
I felt his spirit there. We have to earn the Tolo title with Sean.
Now, Sebastian, I know
Sean,
that
we're on the outside in with Sean.
Now, Sebastian, I DM'd you and Kat, I don't even think that we're connected on there. So I think that proves.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think that proves it.
There was one disappointment for me from the wedding. I was disappointed that I was not asked to give a speech. But I did write something up. Do you want to hear my speech that I would have given at the reception?
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yes.
All
right. This is what I was going to get. I was going to get up there and speak from the heart. I was going to say, when I first met you two 47 minutes ago, I always knew you were going to end up together. I still remember seeing Kat for the very first time when she was walking down the aisle, and I leaned over to Kristen, and I said with a chuckle, I think Sebastian's going to marry this girl. I was right, of course. I always am. Sure, you guys have had your ups and downs. There was that time it rained, and you had to move your ceremony indoors, or when the baby cried right as the minister was about to speak. But love always wins out with you two. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you guys that these two have said their vows to each other every single time I've been around them. That kind of commitment is rare and beautiful. 8 billion people on Earth, 335 million people in the United States, 30 million people in Texas, and 8 million people in the Metroplex. Kat and Sebastian had the most fortunate luck and found their one. That's the kind of beautiful statistical improbability that can only occur when two people find that they have a shared love for Sean and RJ Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. on 105 through the Fan. You're welcome. And yes, I thought over your request, you can name your first child Bobby. Cheers, everyone.
Congratulations.
That was amazing.
I tell you what, Bobby, you nailed it more than my uncle did, because my uncle was absolutely awful at his speech.
That was a bad speech?
Dude, it was so bad.
Was he drunk or just rambling?
No, man, he just has stage fright, and it definitely showed.
Hey, congratulations, you two. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. Congratulations again.
Of course.
We appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Kat and Sebastian, you said that they were a fun group.
Dude,
you could tell.
They set it up to where...
You just know certain type of events and gatherings that these are fun people.
Oh, yeah, and the whole crowd was fun. There was I promised Ben Jones there at the table who I'd been talking to, who works for Toyota. He's like, I listen all the time. You got to give me a shout-out during the Expresso, because we talked about Toyota and EVs and stuff like that. But they were fun. They had they were trying to figure out who's going to say their vows first. And so during the process leading up to the wedding, Sebastian was like, I guess we can do rock, paper, scissors. And Kat's like, fine, but we'll do it at the altar. So they did rock, paper, scissors at the altar to figure out who got to defer. Basically, they did a coin toss.
That's awesome.
Basically, there. So they were awesome. They were a lot of fun.
Congrats, guys. Did Stephen Jones drop a hint that Micah isn't getting his money? Back to the Cowboys on the home of America's team with Star Up, Star Down next. But did you take my advice? Did you get the Big Red Barbacoa that is only served on Sundays? It is a family tradition, and it is shared by Brandon Hurtado and the official barbecue of the morning show and the Texas Rangers. It is Hurtado Barbecue and HurtadoBBQ.com. The best platters in the Metroplex. The best pictures of barbecue in the Metroplex. Did you go by and get the El Jefe? $25 a piece. A third pound of brisket, pulled pork, spare ribs, turkey, burnt ends, and sausage. Six types of meat? Are you serious? Serve with two sides of your choosing. You go and get my wife's favorite with the tater tot casserole. Maybe the Hatch chili mac and cheese. The Mexican street corn. Sometimes he'll go ahead and pile that up with extra brisket as well. And do not forget the handmade pies for dessert. Fresh, seasonal, and local hand pies, as well as banana pudding. Stop by, say Sean for the Fan sent me. And don't forget those Christmas brisket tamales from Hurtado and HurtadoBBQ.com.